Hello and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us. I'm Amy Fuller. There was a massive manhunt today in Colorado. The FBI sought a woman, this woman believed to have been a credible threat to students at Columbine High School and other schools beyond. That hunt ended late this morning in her death by her own hand, according to law enforcement. The threat then therefore contained. Authorities say this 18-year-old woman, they say she's 18, drove from Miami to Denver just ahead of the anniversary of the Columbine massacre that did happen 20 years ago this Saturday. The FBI field office in Miami somehow found out about her, her obsession with Columbine, and her journey to Colorado. They thought to do something. They didn't know what. So they warned authorities there. And schools have been on alert since Monday night, law enforcement were. 20 schools closed Tuesday, and over 100 apparently closed on Wednesday. And the woman, her name Sol Pais, landed. She managed to get to a store, and they found out bought some sort of gun and ammo. And then, you know, again, schools closing their doors as a precaution.
Our focus over the course of the last 24 hours has been, how can we keep our kids safe in schools? And a lot of ongoing conversation with our school safety partners in Jefferson County Public Schools, as well as law enforcement agencies throughout the Denver metro area and school administration right here, with Dr. Glass being heavily involved in conversations throughout that process. Obviously, we are concerned to get kids back to school, and so we're going to continue working with the school district, the school safety team, to make sure that we can do that in a safe manner, and that during this very important week to the Columbine community, that those events are carried off in a safe manner as well.
So a lot of alarming hours for the week and in the early morning hours of Wednesday. But this woman, law enforcement say she killed herself, and they're all taking a breath now ahead of, again, this Saturday, the 20th anniversary of that Columbine massacre. In other news, an investigation now underway after that massive fire at the world-famous Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Fire did break out around 6 p.m. Paris time Monday. This 800-year-old Gothic cathedral. And there you see the before and after. Just no way to describe it. Renovations were going on. They say the building seems to be structurally sound after all these flames went out. The company which worked on the restoration has confirmed that there were no welding works going on and no hot spots or flames being used. So people are wondering, just how did this start? Meanwhile, donations to help reconstruct the place are pouring in. Somewhere around $1 billion mark at this point, including announced today some $5 million from Disney. A huge win for the Trump administration when it comes to border control and national security, many would say. Attorney General William Barr has ruled that asylum seekers will no longer be eligible for release on bond, meaning they have to remain in detention while their cases are pending. They don't just get to come, be processed, and then let go and told, come back at your court day, which so many never, ever do. And that's been the big problem, the big complaint with our immigration control in the United States. The Attorney General has the authority to overturn prior rulings like this one, which was made by an Obama judge. And so, again, big, big win for the Obama administration. The decision does not affect asylum-seeking families, though, because they generally can't be held for longer than 20 days. It also does not apply to unaccompanied minors. Barr's ruling takes effect in 90 days, and you might see a total of 161,000 asylum apps filed in the last fiscal year. And as we've been reporting, over 100,000 migrants, illegals, were apprehended at our border just in the month of March. That's just those who were apprehended. So all eyes are still on that border and all these issues with the asylum ban. So we will talk about that and more coming up here on America Trends. Thanks for being with us for the hour. We always love it when we can bring fascinating people who can inspire us and motivate us here to America Trends. And we are so glad you're with us here for the hour on the U2 America TV network and on BizTalk Radio. Her name is Carolyn Peterson, and she has a company and a website called The Indomitable Spirit. It's such a great name. You can go there, theindomitablespirit.com, and find out a little more about her. But I'm interested in talking to you. Carolyn, welcome to America Trends.
Hi, thank you.
So you've come across some people in your life that really just inspired you to do this. What is your motivation for your company, and what exactly do you do? And let's talk about it and take a few minutes to inspire people with all these things that you've discovered and these people that have inspired you.
You know, what I have always been fascinated by, what is it about people that there can be someone that goes through a circumstance and they are triumphant over that circumstance. They are victorious over it, and they can move on. They don't just take baby steps. They pretty much run the marathon. And someone else can go through the same situation and live the rest of their lives in misery. They're always the victim. They're not victorious. What is the difference? What is it in their... Is there something that these other people have that this person just can never get? So I've always been a little bit fascinated in that. And that's what got me started on this. And then I started to meet people along the way, like Allison Arngrim, who has been through some horrendous circumstances in her life, and started to meet similar people and tried to get a feel for what do they have in common.
Yeah, I saw that you have an affiliation with Allison. She's a frequent guest on here, and our audience may remember she played Nellie Olson on Little House on the Prairie. And she's got a book out that tells her story. It's called Confessions of a Prairie Bitch. Sometimes we say the B word, but I'm just telling you so you can find it on Amazon. And she really gets genuine and authentic about things that happened to her in her family, things a little girl should never have to go through. And but she is a force too. When you think of indomitable spirit, you might think of someone like her. But your story as well, Carolyn, I just want to tell a little bit about you and brag for a moment. You were raised in New York, then went to college on a vocal music scholarship in California. And then you had some big things happen. You were in the entertainment business in the late 80s. Started two businesses after being involved in a head-on collision, which I imagine set you back quite a bit. And then also, you recovered after, you know, another huge battle with breast cancer just in 2015. And so I bet just from you alone, we could learn a lot about having an indomitable spirit.
Yeah, that car accident literally turned my life around.
Wow.
I didn't realize at the time that it was turning it around for the better, but at the time it turned me upside down. And while I was recovering and while I was on disability, I lost my job of 15 years. So after disability ended, then I found myself on unemployment and almost 60 years old and going, now what the heck am I supposed to do? And along the way, I started to meet these people like Allison, like Erin Runyon, who I can talk about for a second, and a few others that... like I said, again, they rise above their circumstances. And so I thought, I'm going to start this little business and see what I can do to put some speakers together and maybe motivate some other people. And right in the middle of that, I get a call from the doctor to come in because my mammogram showed that I had breast cancer. And my reaction to that was, I don't have time for this. I'm trying to start a business. So let's just get it out and get it over with. And something that people were always asking me is, how do you keep going, and how come you're always smiling, and how come, well, you know, I don't know, my answer was always, well, I don't have a choice. I have a son to raise, I have money to make, I have a life to live. And then I realized that that was my choice, and that everybody has a choice to choose to be happy and victorious over their circumstances, or they can choose to be miserable and live with a cloud over their head. I mean, that's their choice.
Carolyn, what you say rings so true, because you talked about a couple things. First of all, the victims that say, this is happening to me, I can't, and the people who overcome, and you just have to. And then also the fact that when you, in 2015, when you were told about this cancer diagnosis, you don't have time. No one plans for this. And you know, these things can happen to us, these huge life tragedies. The Bible tells us we're not promised tomorrow. And so I love that you are motivating people to celebrate what we can do today and how to overcome when we do have these intense struggles. However did you do it, though?
Everybody asked me that, and I just think... I'm not sure how I did it. I know that I have always believed that you can rise above anything. I know that I have always, okay, for me, my personal journey is what brings me peace is music. So I always turn to music. I turn to my friends. I have my own way to get through. But I guess I just always figure that life is a choice, that you have no choice over what happens to you, but you have 100% choice of how you're going to react to it and how you're going to move on. Mm-hmm. So how did I get through it? Good sense of humor, good friends, this indomitability of spirit, this resilience. And I do believe that every single person has it. And I think it's kind of like Dorothy with her ruby slippers. She's going along and she's trying to figure out how to get home and she has no clue how to do it. And she's had the power with her all along. She just had to figure it out.
Well, and I think the fact that you're helping others probably goes a long way in healing yourself. And I know you say that the first steps in the process of healing, some of them are acknowledging and accepting your situation without guilt and without judgment. And that can sound easy, but I bet there are many times when you blame yourself for, you know, if you're in a bad situation emotionally or relationships, you can blame yourself for getting there. If you're in a bad situation physically, you might blame yourself for, oh, I don't know, smoking or what you ate or what you breathed and things like this. Sometimes it's hard to not blame ourselves, but we really have to give ourselves a break, don't we?
Oh my gosh, self-judgment. Is the hardest to get over. And it absolutely is the first step. You absolutely have to acknowledge where you are and accept where you are without judgment. Such as, I lost my job. That's a fact. Okay, I lost my job. Not I lost my job because I was stupid, that, you know, I could have done a better job, I messed up all the time. No. The reality is I lost my job. You must accept it and you must leave the judgment out of it and the guilt and the anger. And once you learn to do that, I mean, we have one of our speakers is Erin Runyon and her daughter Samantha was kidnapped, raped, and murdered. The girl was 5 years old. The mother, the only way for that mother to get past that was to accept her situation and move on from it without the anger, and that is the hardest thing to do.
That must be, because that was, I mean, having a child at 5 years old. Carolyn Peterson, thank you for your story, and people can hire you to come talk to them. Come to their event at theindomitablespirit.com. Carolyn, keep us posted on all you're doing, and thank you so much.
It's been 24 hours, I need more hours with you.
Well, we love to profile businesses and civic places, large and small, all around the United States of America. And we're so proud this hour to take you to a place called Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where they have got, boy, some really great things coming up in their midst at the Bartlesville Community Center. And Val Callaghan is managing director of the center, and just some amazing Broadway shows coming up. Some local features, and there's really a lot to talk about, and there's nothing like the support of the community and having those real rich textured events that represent the people in a town like this. And Val, I'm just interested in hearing all about it and how you're doing. Welcome to America Trends.
Thanks, Amy. Great to be with you today.
You as well. How long have you been with the, am I saying it right, Bartlesville?
Bartlesville Community Center.
Yeah, and we're in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yes, in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I've been at the center for about 11 years, so absolutely love it.
You know, I'm from a small town in Ohio, and we had a theater like this. It did community theater, brought events in, brought people in, and then things that we produced on our own. And it is a very rich part of the community. So I love that we're profiling this, and you've come on to tell us what's going on. And I know you've got some big Broadway shows coming on. You've got a choral society, the Civic Ballet, the orchestra. And I'm just eager to hear what is coming down the pike. And I know that on the 20th, this weekend, you've got a big show, right?
Right. We've got the national touring show of Finding Neverland. And that's going to be this Saturday, April the 20th. And it is in our Broadway series. A lot of people, even in Bartlesville, don't know that these are national touring shows like you would see on Broadway or in a big city where they sit down for a few weeks. And we're just lucky enough to get them for one night. So we're super excited.
Right, the way it works, this is Broadway equity, meaning so the show launches on Broadway usually, mm-hmm. and it goes for about a year, and then they say this is doing well, or, you know, we may end on Broadway, but we're going to take a touring show out. And Finding Neverland is the touring show. These are equity actors. Sometimes they do hire local people, local actors, and or orchestra, and it's going to be there in Oklahoma, in your town, for one night on the 20th. So yes. People should, are you sold out yet? Because I would imagine you almost are. It's just one night there, right?
Yeah, we have a few seats left, so okay. If people are still interested in buying tickets or if they have family in for the holiday weekend, we'd be happy to accommodate them. So, yeah, we've got 1,700 seats in our building, which is just about perfect for a show, and everybody has a great seat, so we're really fortunate.
It is a treasure when you get to have a Broadway show come to your community. I also love that you do other things, though, that you have the orchestra. There it is, Finding Neverland. Now, is this the one, does this have to do with Robin Hood? I'm trying to remember.
So, actually, this is the prequel to Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, sorry, so, yeah, Peter yep. Pan, right.
It gives the whole backstory sure. of how Peter Pan became Peter Pan. Yeah. So, a little bit of love story, a little bit of lots of kid involvement. And then you get, of course, the pirates and the pixies. So it'll be fun for everyone.
And it was on Broadway. I don't know if it was just under a year, over a year, but now it's touring. So it's that caliber. And then you have another Broadway equity series coming through soon, don't you?
So we have Something Rotten is coming up on May the 5th, and that's going to be our season finale. We typically do 5 shows in our Broadway series each year. And folks can either buy a season package and save a little bit, or they can buy an individual ticket to see, you know, just the shows that they want to pick and choose. But Something Rotten is hilarious. Did very well on Broadway. It's done well across the country on the national tour. And it just depicts kind of a Shakespeare-style drama with kind of a spoof on a lot of musicals. So if you love Broadway, this show is for you because you can see little tidbits of every other show and they kind of make fun of it. So it'll be super fun.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get to see Something Rotten, but I did hear that it is so, for, like you say, any Broadway fan that knows a little bit about, you know, the structure and themes of certain musicals, they do spoof it and they just say it's hilarious. And not just Bartlesville, Oklahoma, but these shows are touring all around the country. So just keep an eye out for when they do come. And that's the Broadway series and, you know, equity actors coming from Broadway, from New York and from other areas where they hire out and they hire them in New York and it starts in New York and they tour around. But you also, the community endeavor there and the commitment to that is so major. The orchestra and the choral, can you tell me a little bit about that? Because that's so much, you know, presenting the local talent, which is so important and so auspicious there. It's a very talented group
yeah.
there.
Oh, so we're super lucky. We have a numerous amount of presenting arts groups that use the Bartlesville Community Center, and we have a resident symphony called Bartlesville Symphony Orchestra, and their finale is coming up on the 4th of May. They're bringing in Jeans and Classics, which are going to do an 80s style show. They're so fun. They've been here before. They've done some other tribute style music, and they play right alongside with our local orchestra. So that's really fun. We just got through with Coppelia with the Bartlesville Civic Ballet. And so a lot of our seasons are wrapping up right now, but then we also have 2 summer seasons that are really fun. So we just have really diverse culture in Bartlesville. And for a town of 36,000, we feel really fortunate.
36,000. So what's coming up for the summer, Val?
So we have the OKM Music Festival, which is June the 8th through the 14th. And what they do is they bring in an act every night. We've got people like Phil Vassar and the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra and Brent Giddens Band, and Dallas Brass is coming for their finale concert that they're going to do outdoors at the Wool Rock Museum and Wildlife Sanctuary. And that's a whole week long, just full of music and fun. And we also have some local free events that people can come to during the day. So they can pick and choose what they want to do. They can do something all day long and into the evening. And the whole city is really behind this festival, just to make people feel welcome and for our local people to enjoy some really good music.
That's so special. It's stuff that people will never forget. Talking to Val Callaghan of the Bartlesville Community Center. That is BartlesvilleCommunityCenter.com. You can go there and see some of these Equity Productions touring around, or their local talent, which they've got so much and have practiced so much and are getting ready to do these major events for you. And the other thing, Val, too, is it's, you know, these are great things, and we encourage everyone to be involved in community theater and symphony and chorus and ballet in their town. But there's something very special where you are, because you've got this amazing architecture of your building where these are housed.
Oh my goodness, Amy, I was hoping you were going to ask me about that, because we're so, so lucky. We have two Frank Lloyd Wright inspired buildings in Bartlesville, and we share the same city block. So Frank Lloyd Wright designed the Price Tower, which is now Price Tower Art Center, and just super, super awesome place if you want to see architecture and also visual art. And then the Bartlesville Community Center was built probably 50 years later, but by William Wesley Peters, who was Frank Lloyd Wright's protege, and he is from Taliesin West and just has that whole flair. So we're super excited.
I really love it. New York, and just like your town too, you go in the theater, tells as much of a story as the show does. And I know that coming up later this year, you've got some new urban green space that you guys are developing. So Val, will you come back and keep us posted on what you guys are doing?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Call me anytime, Amy.
All right, Val, have a great summer. We'll see you later.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid. I'll be riding shotgun.
Our lives are very dependent upon our smartphones, but a new study shows maybe we should slay the smartphone, as they write, that technoference, as they call it, is making our lives more sluggish. So a new study, we're going to chat about this in a moment. Also, a stress mess. 3 in 5 millennials say life is more stressful now than ever before, and they are somewhat blaming their smartphones. And of course, social media, always the target, but maybe it should be. We are here with our friend of the show, Kristen Sunana Walker. She is the CEO of the Mental Health News Radio Network. MentalHealthNewsRadio.com is where you can find her podcast. So many hosts here and so many topics that can be so edifying and rewarding to listen to. And Kristen, welcome back to America Trends.
Hey, Amy, I love being here. You know that.
Oh, we love having you. So again, let's start with the study. 3 in 5 millennials say stress more stressful than ever before. But some people will laugh and ha-ha the millennials, saying, did they ever really know stress? You always see these memes comparing people, you know, that went to war compared to the millennials who just, they have to worry about a cracked smartphone, and that's their hazard for the day.
Yeah, you know, there is always that generational, well, I used to walk on a broken leg and
kids
5
days.
Miles to school. Yeah, but it is true. So we did not have social media. We did not have smartphones back then. So this is not a fallacy. This is not millennials whining. This is reality. This is very, very true.
So they are saying that that this is a survey of 2,000 American millennials sponsored by a CBD oil company. You can make all the jokes you want, because now so much marijuana is allowed that, you know. Anyway, it reveals that 1/3 of millennials believe their lives are more stressful than the average person's life. Do you think there's anything to that, or are we just not, have we been coddled too much as we're growing up these days, Kristen?
I mean, absolutely, yes, hands down, that's very true. There's no denying that fact either. And they are dealing with a lot of stress, but, you know, so are we. It's not just millennials. All of us are more stressed out with, you know, technology, smartphones, social media. It's a huge amount of pressure. And for millennials, you know, they're at the boon of their careers right now because of the age group that they're in, and they're feeling that pressure, I think, probably more than any other generation out there.
Yeah, even though we can chuckle, but it doesn't deny or modify the fact that they do feel stressed.
Absolutely.
There are all these studies, which we could do a whole show on, Kristen, about what happens to us when we're infants, when we're children, maybe scar us or present a buffer where we're better able to handle things, or maybe it messes us up a little bit. But there, again, all these studies you could go into forever. But these millennials say that there are numerous causes for this frustration. They feel their overall stress level is caused by the accumulation of daily, get this, micro stressors, which I don't know if I've ever heard this term before 5 years ago. But when you hear things like this, you do, if you're sitting around going, I'm a millennial, what's wrong? You know what? I do have micro stressors. Come on.
Right.
Seemingly trivial experiences such as being stuck in traffic, waiting for appointments, or again, various smartphone issues. And these things add up and they just, it makes them apoplectic and they can't deal with it. But yeah, they say this really does affect them. So
it really does. It really does. It also, you know, they've been put into this addiction of, you know, social media, which is good and bad. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'll never say it's a bad thing. But they've been raised on this, a very addictive thing, where they expect quick results, quick answers, quick everything. Don't wait in line. You get everything now, now, now. That is not their fault. You know, it isn't their fault that that is reality. That's what makes it harder for them to deal with the stressors that come in life, where, yeah, you do have to wait in line. Yeah, traffic can be awful. Yeah, sometimes you have to wait. And they were not raised to have the skill set to wait. That's part of the problem.
That's so interesting, because we know, you know, the brain forms at a certain time, late teens, early 20s, mid 20s, some, and you can handle things better once that's done. And it does make you think, I mean, again, Kristen, you could do a whole show on talking about, well, you know, things happen in our childhood or we're brought up a certain way. But at a certain point, we have to say, hey, I'm an adult and I need to do the adulting. And, you know, this is another article I wanted to send you to talk about, because I see these articles about people giving adulting classes. And you just have to wonder, I mean, at what point do you, if you are, you know, if you're that millennial and you've had this hard time and you're going, it's really hard to transfer into being an adult from what, how I've been raised. At what point do we really say, Kristen, is there a certain age or is it a mindset where we say, it's time to adult now?
Well, you know, I don't know about that, because I just now feel like an adult for the first time in my life and I'm 49. So I don't know. Literally.
These kids don't know that we still feel young in our heads, even in our 40s. I know.
That's true. But, you know, you can be an adult in some areas of your life and really handicapped in others. I think that classes for adulting, that's not a bad idea. I mean, we can laugh at it, but that really isn't a bad idea. I might sign up for one of those classes. You don't need to be a millennial to learn how to adult. We all need that. I think, though, that that rapid pace of information coming at them and helicopter parenting certainly played a horrible role in it. It's really kind of crippled them in many ways on the things that we know how to deal with, because we didn't have that kind of interaction. We were the, you know, the generation before, we were the just throw them to the wolves and they'll figure it out. Well, that gave us a lot of resilience.
It's true. And Kristen, we can laugh and say adulting classes, hearty har. But for you and I can go back to our generation and when we were in school, and we can certainly think of things that, rather than geometry, not to take away from geometry, that we would have said, you know, I wish we would have had a class for this, that, or the other. And so, you know, maybe it is applicable now. Maybe it is good they're drawing attention for it to have such adulting classes, because it's just what's needed. Just one more little thing about this study. They, some of the respondents said, although losing one's wallet or credit card ranked as the top source of stress, you know, one of these microaggressors, for respondents, one in five said they'd be even more upset if they had a cracked smartphone screen. So
of course that they
just
would.
And have I, you know, that just reminds me, Kristen, have you ever been on the road and you realize you're getting low on fuel and also your smartphone is losing its charge? Have you just felt like it's the end of the world?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You do feel like it's the end of the world. And, you know, we look at things like, well, you and I, Amy, have dealt with road rage. Well, guess what the replacement for road rage is? Social media rage. The quick, short, fire temper. And so, yeah, if your phone's losing juice and your car is about to run out of gas and you can't get where you need to go and you can't sit there and be babysat by a phone, which all of us do, not just millennials, then that's like high stress for anybody.
We're all pulled by that hook anymore, Kristen. And just to end up there, that they say a damaged phone screen is worse than seeing a check engine light. So that would be a low fuel, check engine, low phone. I don't even know how you'd get through it. But at least have your phone charged so you can call for help. Okay, Kristen, we're going to come right back for you to talk more about the smartphone. And is technoference making our lives more sluggish? And can we do anything about it? Or are we just done for? Back with Kristen after this. Welcome back to America Trends. Smartphones, as they're called, were meant to help us have a better life and do better at work and play and all these things. However, they are now draining the number of hours we sleep. That's a huge one. Making us less productive and could even be making us feel physically worse in general, because that can all add up. A new study shows all this, and it actually has this funny thing. It says, slay the smartphones. Technoference is making our lives more sluggish. And who better to talk to about this than Kristen Sunnata Walker, the head of the Mental Health News Radio Network. She has been working in the healthcare field for more than two decades. And daily, she interviews leaders in the behavioral health community, CEOs, actors, actresses, names you would certainly recognize, counselors, best-selling authors, and global experts in all manner of behavioral health. And her shows, seen here on the website, are downloaded in over 170 countries all around the world. God bless the internet for that, right, Kristen?
Right, exactly. I mean, most people that listen to our podcast are doing it on their smartphones.
Right. So, you know what? It's just like the smartphones are just like the internet or anything else in the world. It can be used for good or evil. And we just have to try to go for the good.
We do. We have to go for the good. That's why, you know, I don't like to make blanket statements like social media is bad. No, it's how it gets used. It has been used to save lives. Smartphones and technology, yes, they've certainly added a whole new layer of stress in our lives, but they've also done so much good.
You know, it really just goes back to us, Kristen. Mobile phone use has evolved into a major disruption in the daily lives of millions or billions. One in five women lose sleep because of the time they spend on the smartphones versus one in eight men. But let's face it, the smartphone does not have to rule our lives. We are, God gave us free will.
That's
we can
right.
put it down. And we have to, you know, you can we can go on and on about addiction and what causes it and how we can get away from it. And the let's face Facebook, these social media pages, they have people study how to get us to stay on longer.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
One of our podcasters is all about that, studying the adverse effects on our mental health and also the positive effects on our mental health, social media.
But we are doing it to ourselves. We have to be stronger than our smartphones, and we should be able to, right?
You'd think so. I mean, my hand hurts from holding my phone like this and doing things on it. And that's up to me. No one's, you know, making me do that. That's me doing it. So yeah, it's called being personally accountable for what's going on in your life.
Don't be a victim. Respondents were feeling even more aches and pains. They also say that they do believe are a result of smartphone use. And that
Absolutely.
Was the case for at least 8.4% of women, up from 3%, and 7.9% of men, up from 1.6%. So at least maybe, you know, those percentages are up. It sounds to me like maybe it's not just that they are up, but that people are acknowledging, this is why I might have the aches and pains. Maybe I should put the phone down and go for a walk.
Yeah, I mean, when you say, you know, aches and pains, well, guess what happens when you sit all the time on a phone and or at a computer. Mm-hmm. Your body is meant to be standing up and moving. Your body goes into, and I heard this from, you know, Sanjay Gupta, your body goes into death mode, breaking down mode to prepare you for death the longer you sit. So that explains why we have these aches and pains, because we need to be moving, not sitting.
That's so interesting, Kristen, because for a couple years now, that's been the rage of breathless TV news anchors and health specialists saying sitting's the new smoking, the new heart disease, the new everything. And even if you spend a lot of time working out, if you sit for hours and hours, it's so very detrimental. And Dr. Sanjay Gupta, what did he say it was called? The death?
It's your body preparing itself for death.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
If you think of it that way, it sort of goes to the heart of the matter, right?
It makes me look at my desk and go, wow, I am now building a stand-up desk. I mean, I heard him speak just 2 weeks ago and went, okay, the thing I've been putting off about, you know, having a stand-up desk, it is now a number one priority in my life, having that.
That's another trend, too, these chairs that help us, that raise so we can sort of stand up and lean on something, or the computers themselves. So that's all so interesting. Yeah, I mean, gosh, how the American lives have changed. All my forefathers and mothers were farmers, and now we have to try to make sure we get that exercise. And it's the manner of what America has gone to.
Yep, exactly. We've evolved in many ways, but our lifestyle is taking a beating for this evolvement that's been going on between our eyes, between our ears, and we're forgetting about everything below the neck, and that's not a good sign.
Kristen, how long have you been with the Mental Health News Radio Network? When did you start this?
Well, I started my podcast about 7 years ago, and it evolved into this network that I've created. So the network's only been around since February of 2017. The network's really new.
So just over 2 years. And you know, you and I whisper to each other, I hear some really great things that are happening and some pilots you're launching. And I know you've got some roundtables developing. Is there anything that you guys are doing and expanding that you can talk about to the audience right now? Because I want to brag on you a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't talk about the incredible places that are interested in turning our filmed pilot into a series. Not yet, because contracts are floating around out there. However, I can say that we've created this whole initiative where we bring people together. They sit down and we literally sit at round tables and we talk about mental health. And maybe that sounds boring, but no, these are the most authentic conversations with business owners, moms, dads, teenagers, doctors, lawyers, you know, anything you can imagine, sitting at these tables and having incredible conversations with each other about the current events of today.
It's so great. Kristen, I just love, and make sure you keep us posted. We do see you about every week, but if you have any, you know, new breaking issues you want to talk about and these great things that are happening for your network, we're so happy for you. And we thank you so much for sharing with our audience.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure always to be able to come on and do this with you. It's my favorite time of the week when I get a note from Amy.
Ours too. Thank you, Kristen. Mental Health News Radio is where you will find her. The website, let's make sure I get it right, mentalhealthnewsradio.com. And Kristen, we'll say goodbye for now, but we'll see you in just a few short days. And one other little thing that is so good for our mental health, pets, and some of the best viral pet video from all around the web that we love to bring to you for our TV viewers. Take a look and we'll be right back.
Hi!
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And there you have it, some of the best viral pet video from around the net. Thank you for being with the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Here for America Trends, I'm Amy Fuller. Thank you as well to our guests, Carolyn Peterson, Val Callaghan, and also Kristen Sonata Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network. And a reminder, you can find us 24/7 on our website, u2america.com. You can see all our headlines there. Click around and see some of our other shows and our streaming. And also, you can click through and find us on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we would love to all be friends. And so please check us out there, okay? Would you? Finally tonight, based on one of the best-selling books of all time, The Pilgrim's Progress. If you are someone who studies the Bible, you are familiar with this and are blessed that they have brought this to the big screen. This is one story that can give our children the courage to stay on the straight path in a culture that often stands against them. And it is in theaters just in time for Easter. And right now we have your first look as we say goodbye for now.
We have to get out, Christiana. It says so in this, and I believe it.
You're asking me and the children to follow you beyond the borders.
Keep that light in your eye and go straight towards it. Do not turn to the right or to the left.
Keep on the straight path.
Expect to continue without hardships.
Think about it. Even if you reach your destination, what will become of those you love? Perhaps you'll save yourself. But what of them?
On this journey for the king.
Nothing will I fear.
You will go no further.
You're the light unto me.